It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com, presented by nowandthenmagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With her special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
I am so excited today to have Canadian country star Eric Etheridge with us today on Music's Journey. With over 35 million streams globally and over 100,000 social media fans, 11,800 monthly Spotify listeners, and this is the CCMA Discovery Award winner that started it all, who is now a Canadian country star with 3 nominations for the CMAOs, and I cannot wait. You're up for 3 awards this year at the CMA Ontario Awards on October 4th for Single of the Year for If You Met Me First, and Male Artist of the Year and Music Video of the Year. Congratulations, Eric.
Thank you so much, Kim. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, we're so excited for you. This has just been such a whirlwind, you know, in the last 2 years for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. Whirlwind, I think, is an accurate way to describe the last 2 years.
Just a little bit. You've had so much that's happened with you. What a journey you have had. And congratulations on the nominations this year. That's pretty amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited about it. It's the first time I've ever been nominated for multiple awards at the same time, so that's really, really cool.
And especially for Single of the Year, Male Artist of the Year, those are biggies, and that's huge.
Absolutely.
We've kind of been along the journey with you from the get-go, and I remember you working so hard. I remember the first time I seen you, I believe, was 2015, and you were playing in one of the pubs, and you worked so hard on the stage, and I remember talking to you off stage, and you guys do such a great live performance, and you could really, really connect with the fans. And I think that's what really established you and got you noticed to begin with.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, that was, I knew right from the beginning that nobody was going to just reach out and hold my hand to the front of the line, so to speak. It's a tough industry. It's super competitive, and I needed to find ways to stand out from the beginning, from being an unknown artist to try to compete within on a major scale across Canada. So one of the things that I thought was super important was having a really good live show and something that people would want to come see over and over again.
And you did that really, really well, because I think that's what even CMT, a lot of the other magazines and organizations really started to take notice in Ontario. And that was a big deal. Yeah. And I remember that first performance that I saw you do, and I remember talking to you off stage and coming to see that show, and it was really, really good. And I remember, you know, being so impressed with you back then.
Thank you so much. Well, that means a lot. I mean, it does take a ton of work, right? Like my band and I, I'm very lucky to have had the same band for the last 6 years, almost 7 years now. And everybody has been a team player, and we focused really hard on just working together as a group and making sure that we're interacting with the crowd every time, and we want people to have fun at every single show, and we don't want to be guessing when we're up there. We usually have a plan, and we want to, you know, make sure that people are just enjoying themselves as much as they could be. One of the toughest parts of being a new artist is how do you perform your own music and keep people interested, and you know, some acts will resort to just playing covers almost entirely, and that is tough because then you're playing somebody else's music and you might as well be a cover band. So how do you perform your own music, original music, you know, mixed in with some covers at the right time to keep people interested, make sure people are having fun, and that they're paying attention to your original music?
When you talk about going from studio to live performance, a lot of artists that are not used to live performance, you've got that advantage because you've been there, and that's where you created all the hype, was through live performance. And then you go into studio, totally different performances altogether. And I think that's just something that you can hold under your belt that you guys worked so hard for. Like Tim Hicks did the same thing, you know, with all the live performances, and it eventually paid off. And now he's one of the best performers on stage to hire. And James Barker Band, same thing with you. You know, you guys really do a great show. And that says something about the brotherhood, you know, that you guys have formed working together.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Kim.
Yeah. Now let's take it back to the humble beginnings. You worked 4 jobs, and I remember talking to you about that. You were working 4 jobs at that time, also putting yourself through school. And you're not just going through school for just a bachelor's degree or anything like that. You were going through as a chiropractor, which is huge. And that's a lot of work. But to be working four jobs, playing, what was that like for you then and what your music ambitions were?
Yeah, well, so I was born and raised in Southern Ontario. Sports and like athletics was a big part of my life growing up. I went off to the University of Western Ontario, played football there for 4 years, and got my degree in exercise physiology. Mm-hmm. And I full on planned on being a chiropractor, but I had sort of always had a passion to sing and perform. And about a week before going to chiropractic school, I was going to drop out and be a singer. Changed my mind last minute, decided to go, and I actually did really love it. I was like, oh, this is exactly where I want to be. But, you know, I still found that like, nagging feeling that I needed to go perform, I needed to play music, I needed to write songs. It really is what excited me more than anything else. And so, yeah, chiropractic school, for those of you out there who don't know, it's the program is very much like medical school. It's very similar. I had a lot of friends in medical school in Toronto, and we took a lot of the same classes. We even had the same professors, actually, both universities. And so it's super intense. You know, we'd be in the classroom or the library probably 70 to 80 hours a week, just constantly studying and training. And I'd also be working on top of that. So some days, like I wasn't a stranger to a 24-hour day. Like Fridays were usually 22, 23 hours, sometimes 24 hours of, you know, work. So that was really intense. When I got out of chiropractic school, I remember that was at the point when I was working four jobs. I had just got my license as a chiropractor. I was bartending. I was trying to build my practice as a chiropractor. So I was working at, I think, two different clinics. And then I was also delivering pizzas to make extra cash.
Yeah.
And then I was singing as well and performing at bars at nighttime. So for a good 3 years, I didn't really have any time off at all, and was working 7 days a week, it seemed.
Crazy.
Every dollar that I made was going into paying off school, was going to paying off the record that I was producing in LA at the time. And I was broke. Broke. And the thing about the music industry is it costs in the beginning, it costs an enormous amount of money.
It does.
To get it off the ground. And so I was investing in myself and taking a bet on myself that I could do this. I remember right before I released my record, my first EP, which is now streamed, I think, over 35 million times. I was just so broke. I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. I released the record, and, you know, thankfully, it took off. And that's when things really, really started rolling. My song, If You Met Me First, was on SiriusXM The Highway. I was on there for about 5 months. And I signed a record deal, moved to Nashville, signed a publishing deal. And I've been down there since the beginning of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a weird transition from going from being a chiropractor full-time, working all these jobs, to all of a sudden being a full-time creative songwriter, which I'd never done. I'd songwritten, you know, a week here, a week there, and throughout the year, but to go from a structured, very type A type job to a very creative, free-flowing, no rules sort of profession was actually a big shock to my system. It was hard for me to find normalcy. It was hard for me to find a routine throughout the day. It's not as much anymore, but it still is a massive shock to the way my brain works.
Yeah, but you have to, because that theory itself, like I know going to med school myself, but you know, the theory alone and just trying to work around that and just trying to get your practical in and trying to make ends meet at the same time, not easy. And, you know, to be able to be working and having a dream and, you know, working with music at the same time, you are not short on ambition. That's for sure. Not short.
I definitely am not short on that. I would agree. Some people might call me a little crazy, but, you know, I guess life is short and, you know, you need to go after what you love, right?
Yeah.
I think the realization I had in 2014 was that if I wake up when I'm 80 years old and I look back and just wish that I had tried music, like, well, I wonder what would have happened if I had just tried. My gut was telling me to do that, and I decided to listen to my gut, and I'm really glad that I did.
And so are we. And look at what what you accomplished with Rolling Stone magazine back in 2015. How cool was that?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy to be mentioned alongside
Andy Grammer and Eli Young did mm-hmm. a version of Honey I'm Good. But then we did, like, they mentioned this cover of Honey I'm Good that I did.
That's right.
And then since then, I've been in Billboard magazine, I've been in Pop Desk, I've been in Taste of Country, Taste of Nashville, then all it's crazy. We've been on ET Canada a few times, my wife and I, and it's just kind of, it's pretty wild. It's surreal at times, and I think we often don't even stop and realize, like, where things are at and how they're going.
Are you kidding? You guys don't have time to breathe. Well, what are you talking about? You two don't have time to breathe to recognize what's going on around you.
Yeah, that's the way it seems. 2020 has been that year. We feel like we haven't had time to really sit down and breathe, and it's been crazy. It's been absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I know, like, everybody goes through it in life, and, you know, you certainly are going to be able to sit back and remember and take it all in, because that's the most important thing, is, like, when you're getting up on stage, and, you know, same thing with Kelsey, like, when she's up there, you know, taking those moments to just be in that moment and remember what it feels like. And, you know, there's been so much change, so much adjustment, but you know what, it is a part of life, and you guys are doing it great. Now, when you took the CCMA Discovery Award, and same thing, you know, you guys both kind of started out the same way there, and that was at 2016, that really kickstarted your music career and really started to get you recognized amongst your peers. How did that feel?
That was really cool. Honestly, I didn't expect to win that award. I was grateful to be in the program. You know, the CCMA did a great job with that program, and it's a bummer that it's no longer in existence. But right after I won that award, I think people started to take me a little bit more seriously. It was a producer who was hoping to work with in LA, gave me a call the next day and said, let's do a record. So we did. We went down to a few songs. And yeah, so it's been a wild ride since then. And the how I met my now wife, Kelsey Kulik, was the tradition is that the year before, the person who won the year before hands the award on to the next year winner. And so whoever was going to be the winner, I was handing them their award in 2017, just so happened to be Kelsey. And that's how we met. It was kind of serendipitous, right? That, you know, a couple years later, we ended up married to each other. But that really did start to, I think it sort of just perked people's interest, and it gave people maybe gave me their attention for a little bit. Right after that, we tried, right on the heels of that, we released a single, Liquor's Calling the Shots, which went top 30 in Canada independently. We were still independent at the time.
You co-wrote that one, you know, when you went to LA to begin with, and you traveled there, you were working with the Juno Award winner producer, Brian House. He's, like, amazing, you know, in what he does. And he co-wrote that song with you. And man, when that was your debut single, you know, it took off from there. How did that feel working with him, like flying to LA, like right from winning that award? That must have been a huge shock for you.
Yeah, it was crazy, because another, I guess, serendipitous thing. It seems to be a lot of serendipitous things that have happened in the last few years. But Brian actually produced pretty much all my favorite bands, and I didn't realize that until I came to his house in LA and I saw all the platinum and gold records on the wall. You did that record? You did that record too? Holy crap. And so that was interesting. It was pretty fascinating and, like, exciting that I got to work with this producer. It was also extremely intimidating. You know, I felt working with him, he's a great guy. We get along great, and we still talk all the time. And he's doing my current record now. Actually, we're just finishing it up today. It was super. I remember being super intimidated because he's such a huge hit songwriter and producer. And I think I've grown into my own, I guess, confidence a little bit as a songwriter now, having worked in Nashville and written, like, I think I wrote 130 songs in the last year. So I'm starting to get comfortable in my own skin as a songwriter.
Yeah, and you can tell. You can tell in your music 100%. And, you know, and it's really nice to see you evolve and hone in those, you know, skills and the songwriting skills, because, you know what, you've got a great craft, and we're going to play that one right now. So let's start off with Liquor's Calling the Shots, and that is with Eric Etheridge.
All the miles and memories, chasing hope and chasing dreams, I see you there in the sweet summer air. Never thought we'd ever fall. We had it good, we had it all, but some things don't last, so I drink to the past. Now I'm drowning in the bottom of a bottle of the neon lights. Tonight, the liquor's calling.
From 2017, Eric Etheridge and Liquors Call on the Shots, his debut single. I'm John Marshall. You can check out Music's Journey on Facebook at Music's Journey Podcast. Check out all our podcasts on our website, musicsjourney.com, or nowandthenmagazine.com for all the latest news and information on your favorite singers and bands, just like Eric. Now, let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast with your special guest. Here is Kim Sear with one man who would never recommend you bend over backwards to do anything. Here's Eric Etheridge.
You got to have the chiropractor jokes in there. You know he's going to throw one in, so there you go. Now, you were traveling back and forth to Nashville at that time. Like you said, you were doing a lot more writing and doing that material for your debut EP, you know, which you released in 2018. Talk about Making Me Crazy.
Yeah, Making Me Crazy was one of those songs that came together really quickly. I think we wrote it in about an hour or so. I wrote it with one of my good friends, Kaylin Garner, who's a super talented artist and songwriter down there. And I think at the time he was just going through a breakup, and he said, you know, man, like, I just broke up with my girl, and one minute she wants to be with me, the next minute she doesn't want to be with me, you know. He's like, it's making me crazy. I was like, huh, sounds like that could be a song. And so we wrote Making Me Crazy right after that. It was kind of just funny. And then, you know, the people I was working with at the time really liked it. It seemed to get some good feedback as well from radio, so we went with it. And that one was my second charting song on the Billboard charts. So.
Yeah, and it did really well virtually as well, and it was such a big one. Mm-hmm. So let's play that one right now, and we'll come back and talk about that one.
She's making me crazy. She looks my way. She looks, I was hooked and she said, hey. Oh, and that was all it took. She had me losing my mind. She was stealing my heart. She was confusing the signs. And we're falling apart. Oh, and I can't keep it straight. She's making me crazy. The way she pulls me in just to push me away. I don't wanna stay just friends. I don't wanna play pretend.
From 2018, that is Making Me Crazy, Eric Etheridge on the Music's Journey podcast. I'm John Marshall. Now back to our special guest. Once again, here is Kim Sear.
Everybody can relate to that song, like you were saying. It's just, you know, one of those ones that whether you're male or female, you know, there's always going to be a breakup song in there somewhere. So it's just one of those fun songs that, you know, virtually did so well for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the music video we did at the we did it at the Cowbell Brewery as well in Ontario. And so that actually one I co-directed and produced as well. So I did have my hand in like the visual like side of it as well. And I'm starting to do that a lot more these days that, you know, it's hard to get producers on, like video producers around and crews and cast together for videos with the coronavirus. So Kelsey and I are producing our own stuff a lot these days.
And it's kind of nice to wear those hats because it's your vision in what you want that song to, you know, given a message and what you want that feel to be. And it's kind of nice. You know, I know that there's a lot of dark to the, you know, to the coronavirus and all that, but a lot of the time it's really pushing the creativity up quite a few notches and being able to put that hat on yourself and not rely on other people's opinions for that. You've got your own voice, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like you guys have done such a great job. Now we got to talk about If You Met Me First. So that one is such a huge song for you, and you're up for 3 awards for this one. So we got to talk about that one and the amount of streams. Holy cow.
Yeah, absolutely. That song was an anomaly, I think. I mean, well, I wouldn't say that because my plan is to keep repeating that success with music, but that song just really connected with people sort of all over the world. It's been streamed, at least on my platforms, at least 25 million times, I think. But then people covered it and put out their own lyric videos. I think there's a random lyric video on YouTube with like 3 million streams on it. And then a couple from did a duet of it from Germany, and that got, I think it's probably close to 1.5, 2 million streams on their cover of the song. So
that's
song
so cool.
Seemed to connect with people sort of universally, and because it's a really well-written song. I didn't write it. It was written by Tiffany Goss, Ty Graham, and Jennifer Denmark. So, yeah, it just sort of fell into our lap there. And it was the last album track that we had recorded. I wasn't expecting it to be a single because it's a ballad. But, you know, it just absolutely crushed it on all the platforms. And it's what led to me signing a record deal.
Oh, it's awesome. Let's play that one right now. So that is If You Met Me First with Eric Etheridge.
Why do you look at me like that? You're all saying things that they can't take back. Feels good, feels right, it don't help. Every night when the quiet gets loud, hate that I know what you're doing right now. Your arms around someone else. Every time I'm next to you, I swear that you can feel it too. How long can we do this to ourselves? In a different place in time, maybe in another life. I bet that baby you and I would have worked. We never get the chance to try, and what makes it worse is you would have loved me if you met me first. I can't even count all the times I've thought about the line I'd never cross, but I've crossed that line in my head. I can't steal it from somebody else just to have you to myself. My heart don't wanna hear me tell the truth. In a different place in time, maybe in another life, I bet that baby you and I would have worked. We never get the chance to try, and what makes it worse is you would love me if you met me first. I'm not hanging on to hope, if you do or if you don't. Maybe in another life, I bet that baby you and I would have worked. We never get the chance to try, and what makes it worse is you would.
album 2019, Eric Etheridge, and If You Met Me First. Now back to the Music's Journey podcast with your host, Kim Sear, and a man who is a lot like the map of Canada. He's got millions of streams. Here's Eric Etheridge.
Don't you miss him in studio right now?
Absolutely.
So this song, you know, so many, again, you know, people can relate to at some point in time where you love somebody or you have feelings for somebody and you're watching that person love somebody else. So that's, you know, the lyrics behind this song. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, I do, you know, I think there's the reason why people connect with that song is because it hits home for a lot of people. I think the situation where, you know, having feelings for somebody who you're never going to have the opportunity to be with is something that a lot of people have gone through. It's also something that's just very, very sad to think about. I mean, life is short, and I think if two people have feelings for each other, I think they should be together because life is short. And it's a tragedy if people don't take that chance, that opportunity.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, so many people don't walk through that fear, and they let life, you know, control them instead of, you know what, taking your own reins in life and making it happen. That's,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's so important. And you've shown how to do that really well. Not afraid. Not afraid.
Not without the trials and tribulations, however, but
yeah.
But yeah, it's, life is it's short, and I've sort of vowed to myself that I was going to go after what it is that I want and the dreams that I have and what I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one, that single for yourself titled number one hit, you know, for iTunes charts, it was huge. And, you know, it has done so well and you're up for 3 awards for it and everybody can stay tuned to see that live. So we're rooting for you guys because this is awesome, you know, for you to have those 3 awards. We're so proud of you and, you know, to be a part of the beginning part of your journey to now. And I know John feels the same way. It's pretty damn cool.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate you guys being a part of my journey in the beginning there and all the way along. So I thank you so much for your support.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And as I said, when we get to see that fruition, you know, when you see something in somebody and you went, you know what, this guy's got something special. And you take a look at artists and you go, you know, we see so many of them throughout the year. And like you said, it's a lot of competition out there and so hard to rewrite a song when it's about love or a breakup or, you know, just about real life and do it differently than anybody else. It's such a hard thing to do. And when you finally get that song that hits, and, you know, it's really, really special in that sweet spot, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, you think about it, like, I think about the music industry, to be an artist is the kind of job, it's like trying to be in the NHL. It's like the coolest job in the world on the outside. People think, oh my gosh, how cool would it be to be the next Wayne Gretzky or the next Tim McGraw? Like, that must be awesome. You know, as opposed to, you don't get millions of people vying for the job of, you know, some other job that's really maybe like not so exciting. And with that, you get, I think inherently you just get a ton of competition. And so how do you say the same message over about whether it's about love or heartache or breakups or whatever? How do you do that? You know, thing about the same thing in a different way that's interesting enough to make people want to listen to you and become a fan of yours. That is, it's a very difficult thing to do. It always seems to be a moving target.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, you know, you can hear down the line, and you know, you'll hear fans say, was it just because of the song, you know, and that's it. And, you know, he got lucky. And it's not about luck at all. And I think that fans, you know, misunderstand that because, you know, if they go back and really take a look at the career, and I think that's what we're trying to do here, you know, on the podcast is looking at the whole career of an artist. And, you know, what goes behind all that hard work, because you were doing this for such a long time and, you know, trying to make that dream come true. And it doesn't mean that the songs that you had back then weren't just as good as this. It just, you know, it just happens to be, you know, going through that journey. You know, I really do believe things happen for a reason. And, you know, it's hard work and you got to be so excited about all the accomplishments that it's taken you to get here at this part of your journey.
Absolutely. I'm excited. I'm very grateful for the opportunities I've gotten. And yeah, I try to be grateful every single day for it. And I also, you know, I understand that it could all go away tomorrow. And so it's something that I'm very fortunate to be able to do right now. And hopefully for a long, long time.
Oh, we hope so. You better.
Yeah, that's my game plan.
That's right. Well, you keep that game plan in play, okay? Now, I know with Brian, what's the best advice he's ever given you to date?
I'd say probably with him, it's probably follow your gut. And, you know, there's been a lot of situations in his career or that he's told me about where, you know, whether it's the record label, you know, doesn't want something or thinks he's wrong, he sticks to his guns, sticks to his instincts, and it ends up being a massive success. When he did Lips of an Angel by Hinder, the record label didn't even want that song on the record.
And I remember
they
that.
Fought for it, ended up being the biggest song in the world that year.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, it was, it went number one on pop, on rock, on Hot AC. It went number one in multiple countries. It was massive, absolutely massive. And so he's built a career on sticking to his instincts.
Yeah, and I think that you're really honing in on that too, because you know in yourself, I think when you're writing a song, you know in your gut, and I remember saying that with Kelsey yesterday, you can definitely tell ones that you've got that feeling for, and whether or not you've released them yet, you know, you're still doing an awful lot of writing, and, you know, those songs you've got, you know, sitting back, and there'll be a time and a place when those ones will feel right. And when you're putting an album out there, it's hard to choose the songs to go into it. And having Brian, you know, sitting there and helping you, you know, and advising you along the way, what a great, great opportunity that has been for you.
Yeah, it's been awesome, honestly. Brian's been great. He's a really good person, you know. He and I have developed a good relationship over the years, and he trusts me as well. Like he said, I'm the only artist that he allows around his kids.
Oh, really? So,
that's pretty good. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've babysat his kids before. But
oh, that's cool.
You know, he's worked with some pretty interesting, eccentric people, as you can imagine. But,
yeah.
But, you know, so it's good. We built a good relationship over the years, and he's been super supportive on that front. You know, and sticking to your guns is important. I release music that isn't, like, you know, it's so weird. I think my music is almost polarizing in some ways because some people love it, and there's a certain, you know, I guess population that doesn't want to get on board with it, or, you know, maybe that is the case, maybe that isn't the case, I don't know, but my goal is the long game, you know. I'm planning for the long game. I'm not planning necessarily for what is happening right now, what the trends are right now. I'm trying to stick to what I see long term, so that, you know, whether it's 3 years from now or 5 years from now, I'm curating a show that people are going to want to fill a stadium to watch, and songs that they're going to want to sing along to. And there'll be people in that stadium that have never heard of me, never heard my songs before, but when they get there, they're going to be fans. That's my vision in the long term. As opposed to just looking at, okay, what is going to work on radio right now? What's going to go number one? Well, this is what this artist is doing. This is what this artist is doing. You know, I try to stay away from that because I think that's a short-sighted, short-term strategy.
It's true.
But you have to look at artists like, say, Kip Moore or Eric Church or the Brothers Osborne or even Johnny Reed, who don't really, you know, they have this. Yeah, they've had this career where, you know, they have fans that come to listen to what they do and their music, and they have great, incredible live performances. And, you know, their fans couldn't tell you when or what, you know, their last single on radio charted at. It doesn't really matter to them.
Yeah.
They're there for more than just those numbers. And so, you know, I guess part of it, too, is because a lot of that is out of my control as the artist. I'm, you know, whether my song goes to, you know, number 87, or if it goes to number one, that's pretty much out of my control. So I try to focus on what I can't control.
When I was talking with Dean Brody, you know, last week, he said it really well. He said it really well because he was talking about songs that meant so much to him that may not have charted. And, you know, that it was important to him, you know, to put on the album, and it's just what he wanted to do. He doesn't care about any of that. He doesn't care about any of the awards. He doesn't care, you know, about those accomplishments. To him, it is what feels good for him and who he wants to portray himself to be. And, you know, and he plays because he loves music. He writes because he loves music. He's not doing it for the accolades and all of those things.
Right.
And like he'd say, you know, songs he knew, you know, that may not agree with the type of music that's popular that year. It wasn't about that. It was about, you know, writing something that was important to him. And that's what you're saying. And it's just, you know, that's that growth, you know, where you know that you're doing what you love.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with Dean, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where sticking to your instincts, I guess, is what I've learned.
Yeah.
From with Brian, right? And yeah, I mean, my goal has always been not to be here for a few months or a year. I want to be here for and be successful for the long term. And so that's primarily my focus every day.
Well, I think right now you're just on the tip of it now, because I think, you know, you finally got yourself in that place where the peers are, you know, definitely looking at you as, you know, one of the bros. And I love, as I said yesterday, I love Canadian country artists, because they have a way of connecting like brothers and sisters and supporting each other better than any other genres, I think, out there. And I cover them all. And, you know, it's just Canadian artists really care about each other and they really push and support. They're the first ones tweeting it out. Hey, I got a buddy of mine's doing this show and check it out. Like, they're not individual artists,
yeah,
you know, and saying, totally, like, just listen to my music. You know, they're out there pushing for everybody. And I love that about Canadian country artists.
It's been great. You know, I was just on a tour with Gord Bamford, Jeff Muskaluk, Andrew Hyatt, JoJo Mason as well. And so it was kind of cool being like on tour with them, because all those artists have had more, I guess you'd say, charting success than I've had, and I've played more, you know, cross Canada shows than I have. And so it was cool to have that opportunity. And I would say like all of them were super supportive and very friendly and would give me tips and, you know, would always answer questions and anything that I may have had a question about. So it's been really cool to experience that personally. And yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that's the same everywhere else in the world. I think Canadian country has its own level of mutual support amongst all the artists.
I do. I'm just really proud, you know, of that part of the music industry. And, you know, everybody kept saying, you know, was Canada really on the mark? You know, when you look at Germany and Europe and you look at the U.S., like, it's not even about crossing borders anymore. Like, music industry has changed a lot. And, you know, Canadian musicians are right up there at the top with everybody else.
Oh, I agree. I think, you know, maybe Canadians can be discounted sometimes, but there's also more than ever Canadians doing a great job.
Huge.
And competing, you know, there's more Canadians than ever in Nashville right now and competing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really impressive to see and be on the ground floor in Nashville to see what's going on. My wife Kelsey's one of them, honestly. Like, she's got more, I guess, street cred than anyone I've met in Nashville as a mm-hmm. Canadian. Nobody really looks at her as a quote unquote Canadian country artist down there, and nobody really cares.
It's true.
Nobody notices her, but she gets in. You know, like, it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing, but
nope.
But there is that stigma still in Nashville, and I mean, she gets into writing rooms with some of the biggest, you know, legendary writers just on her own merit. They don't know where she's from. They don't care. They just hear her sing and they hear her lyrics and they ask her to write. So that's huge. It's absolutely huge. And I don't know if there's many others that can say that now, but.
Well, she's
very,
got,
very proud of her.
Yeah, she's got an incredible gift for songwriting and, you know, storytelling, and that's what makes her stand out. And, you know, I loved her album. Absolutely loved her album. And, you know, she's done such a fabulous job with that. So I can't wait to see what she's coming up with next. And that's what we were saying yesterday, because her storytelling is phenomenal. And that's hard to come by.
Agreed.
Like, yeah. And your songwriting, as I said, you've honed in too. And you have really, really developed your craft. And that has just been such a pleasure to watch. Now, for 2019, such a fantastic year, but a hard year. But let's do some checks here. Music, you know, as in your career, check. You're doing really, really well. Love of your life, check. All right.
This is true.
This is so true. Awards, a check. You know, we're doing so good. And, you know, like the other things are not easy, but you guys have really found an incredible way to be able to take your music, your new music, and, you know, even with COVID and everything that's going on a very special journey. But let's talk about how the two of you met. Now, I'm going to say this first because we heard the story, but was it love at first sight for you? When you handed her that award, what did that moment feel like to you? Did you know in that moment?
Well, I will say that, and this is very strange to me, I was just extremely excited for her. Mm-hmm. We had met just like a month before songwriting, and I could tell that she was extremely talented because, you know, like even to this day, I've worked with multiple number one hit songwriters, and she's better. You know, she may not have a number one hit under her belt yet, but it's a matter of time.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah, like, and she's a better songwriter. Like, mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. So anyways, when she won, I was just so overwhelmed with excitement, and I didn't really know why, which was interesting, because I didn't know her that well, right? and then it sort of dawned on me, like, later that I was like, well, I think I probably was in love with her at first sight, and it was the kind of being in love with her that I'd never experienced before, where it's almost like an altruistic love of like, I just care about her well-being, you know, and I mm-hmm. care about what happens to her. I want her success. I get just as excited about her success as I would probably more so about hers than my own. We got asked a question on an interview recently. Someone's like, is there any competitiveness or competition or animosity there at all? And we're both like, not at all, not even a little bit. Like, we both have a song in the 40s right now, each of us. Last week, her song and my song were in the top three most added songs in Canadian country radio, which is so cool. Like, we were pumped. Like, I was number three, she was number two. I think Megan Patrick was number one. And, like, how awesome is that?
I know.
You know, that is so freaking out. I think we're probably the first married couple in Canada to do that.
I think it's, you know what? It's so much fun to watch, because especially when she got the call and we were watching your video, and she got the call to let her know, you know, how well, you know, her song was charting. And just to see that emotion and, you know, that care that the two of you have for each other, it's so special. I'm so happy for you both, you know, because I want to say to Kelsey, you know, you got a great guy, and I'm going to say the same thing to you. You got a great girl. And, you know, you guys...
I'm very lucky.
Yes, both of you, because, you know, it's just a perfect fit. And, you know, your personalities, and I think it's just so, you know, such an awesome thing to do. And to share this journey together, incredible.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, we're very grateful. I mean, it's nice that we're in the same profession, because it's a little, just that much easier to understand what each other's going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes if I'm running into a problem, she's probably experienced it already and has some good advice, and vice versa. So we're lucky that way. It's tough if you're with somebody who's not in the music industry to explain to them the stress of it all, or anxiety of it all, or like the pressure of it all. Like, you know, that's tough to explain to somebody who's never experienced it themselves.
That's
true. In that aspect, anyway.
That's true. Now, like, you guys just got married, and congratulations, by the way. As I said, we were so happy when we heard that. But you guys just got married, and then I think you were just in Nashville, what, 1 year? And then you guys have had to pack everything up and go, because you were getting ready. I think you only, what, performed four shows with Gord before it got canceled?
Three shows. I think we were in Brandon, Manitoba, and they were getting ready to shut the tour down.
Ugh.
And I had a feeling that, you know, I was pretty bummed, because, you know, I think everybody there thought, like, oh, later this year we'll be back on the road. And I was like, it's going to be two or three years.
Yeah.
And people thought I was crazy, but now it is looking that way. I mean, we can't even open up schools without there being a massive spike in cases, right?
So that's right.
Something not necessary, like a concert or a big festival, is not a necessity to public life. You know, that is going to be the last thing. It's the first to go and the last thing to come back online.
Yeah.
With this, and so I was pretty sad, because I've been working. My dream was to play at stadiums, and I was on a national stadium tour with Gord Bamford, a huge Canadian artist, and getting to do what I envisioned, and then it got shut down, and that was really tough. You know, not only did that get shut down, like, we had to leave Nashville.
That was
a tough decision for both of us. Kelsey and I, we have both risked a lot, given up a lot, and worked our entire lives to get to that point where you can just live in Nashville. It's not easy as a Canadian to live in Nashville because you need a visa and you have to essentially prove that you're quote unquote famous to the American government in order for them to give you a visa. So that's a tough, that's a whole process in and of itself.
Is it really that political for that end of it in Nashville too?
It's not political. It's just, it's difficult. It's just very difficult to do. Because like just to get a visa, you're talking 8,000 Canadian probably, and that's going to last you 3 years.
Wow.
And then you got to renew it every 3 years, and there's a chance they could deny it, the second time you apply. And then, if you set up a life there, 3 years later, you're kicked out. And that's even if you spend, after you spend the $8,000, you may spend that and then they still deny you. So, it's a scary process, and you never really feel settled until you get your green card. Then you could feel more settled, but it's so, anyways, in order to get that specific visa, the 3-year O1 visa, it's very difficult to do. It's very expensive and it's quite the process. So luckily we were both able to get that. However, we lost all of our income for what seemed to be 2020, 2021. Mm-hmm. That was in March. We got the phone call about that. And, the only thing we can do for work legally in the United States is perform. And we weren't about to go perform in the bars full of coronavirus.
That's right.
So, without American healthcare. So we made the tough decision to move back to Canada at that point.
Yeah. And it's hard. And I know that right now, might not see the end goal at the moment and the reasons for everything, but I think that a lot of positive is going to come out of the world at this point. A lot of things that, really needed to happen. And generations, we've gone through it. Our grandparents went through it. My parents went through it to a degree. And, so it's always been there, but it's just getting families back. I think life was just going too fast for everybody with technology, all of it. And, so many people just were losing, a lot of lives, a lot of people, to suicide and different things. And this is long before COVID even hit. And, so a lot of artists that were struggling, things that were, going through for many artists that had depression or, there's a lot of pressure in performing and getting up there and doing it day in and day out and the travel. And you guys know that probably more now than ever, having to travel and perform, and just being on the tour buses and making sure you got people around you that you can speak to, and you've got each other to do that. But a lot of people have a tough time in this industry. And I think people just need to step back and come back to that simpler way of life and, being able to remember what music's all about. And I think a lot of people have done that through this. And I'm really glad that you guys put out your music this year and, and continue to do that because, we need it more now than ever. And that's what draws people together. Music bonds us for life. We always remember, what was happening with one song, that marked that roadblock or that, that change and that leap of faith that we had in something good, It's an amazing thing, that we all have, that it connects this entire globe, and that's music.
Absolutely. I totally agree. It's definitely given me a new perspective on life, I was going so fast for so long that it gave me an opportunity to change the way that I think about life and about success and about how I'm going to live the rest of my life. And so it's definitely been like, I've tried to take this opportunity to pivot and reevaluate how I was functioning for a long time, which wasn't sustainable at all. Like I was overworked and under rested and sleep deprived and not taking care of myself. Not just because I was so motivated to
succeed. So let's talk about Dream Girl. When you released Dream Girl, that was written by hitmakers Dan and Shay, which is a huge song again for you that was released this year in February. Tell us about that.
Funny story. I'd actually met Shay in Nashville a few months before I had heard the song, and I had the song title. At the time, I had the song title in my head, Dream Girl, actually, and the idea was,
I wonder why.
Together, we used to be in love. And, yeah, no kidding. And I brought the idea into a few writers and a few big writers in Nashville. They didn't really like the idea, so I just kind of gave up on it. And a couple months later, I got sent an email, and the subject line was Song for Eric, Dream Girl. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. I had that idea in my head already. And it was also written by Dan and Shay. And I absolutely loved the demo, and I was like, we need to record this, put this out yesterday. And so we did, and it went top 40 in Canada, which is on radio, which is really cool. And I think it streamed almost 3 million times now, which is so cool.
I think it's more than that.
How that song did. And it's more the brand that I've been going for. It's more what I wanted my music to evolve into. So I was really excited for that one to be released, just like I've been really excited for my current single to be released as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's play that one right now because it's such a great song. So let's play Dream Girl by Eric Etheridge.
I don't want to fall asleep, baby. I don't even want to close my eyes, because I've been seeing you, baby. Yeah, it looks a little worse every time. I toss and turn and check my phone. Anything to keep you gone. Out of my head, out of my mind, out of my bed tonight.
From February of 2020, there's Eric Etheridge and Dream Girl. And Eric, we just got an email from Paul McCartney, and he says you have now broken a Beatles record, which is extremely difficult to do. You see, the Beatles performed one concert on a roof. Eric and his Dream Girl wife, Kelsey, perform every show on a roof. So congratulations.
Sorry. I always know when he's on the computer on the other end there's something coming up. So,
live from his roadside manor, here is the happy camper.
Let's talk about that, because it's been such, you know, a whirlwind for you guys. Like you said, you had to sell everything and you guys decided to take the music on the road to be able to share your gifts and to be able to make change in people's lives out there. It wasn't just, you know, to spread the music, but, you know, you really wanted to connect with your fans, and it's so special. Tell us about this whole Love on the Road.
Yeah, well, it was quite the ordeal when we moved out of Nashville. So we first, Kelsey's grandmother was down visiting, and she was high risk, so we didn't want to put her on a plane at that time because it was spreading through airports and planes and everything. So she lived in northern Saskatchewan, and we had to drive from Nashville back to my hometown of Sarnia, and we were there for a few weeks just kind of quarantining, and we decided to make the trip around the lakes to northern Saskatchewan. I think it was about a 37-hour drive, which is crazy. And we finally made it to Hudson Bay, Saskatchewan, and stayed there for a couple weeks, and we came back. So we were driving one day and back on our way to Sarnia, and Kelsey's like, yeah, pull over. And I'm like, what's going on? And we found this beach that was probably one of the most beautiful beaches I've seen in Ontario. It's called Old Woman Bay.
Oh, I don't know that one.
What's that?
I do know that one. Oh, I said I don't know that one, John Scone. Yes, you do.
Yeah, it's between Wawa, Ontario, and Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. And it's absolutely beautiful. Old Woman Bay. It was a beautiful day. It was still spring at the time, so it was warming up, though, and we pulled over, went out onto the beach, and the sun was starting to set, and Kelsey's like, you know, wouldn't it be great? I had a different van at that time, but we could just stay in the van stay here for a couple of days. And I'm like, yeah, it really, really would be. But we can't, because we'd probably freeze to death in the van overnight. But we kept on driving, and then I said to her, I was like, you know, what if we did do that? What if we did live in a van and travel around Canada? She's like, no, that's crazy. We're not doing that. And I was like, okay, yeah, that is kind of crazy. Sure enough, we started seeing, like, things on social media about people living in their vans, and I was like, oh, people actually do this. This is pretty wild. And it's a whole rabbit hole you can go down, but we started brainstorming and thinking, you know, what if we put a roof on the stage and then we could tour around North America and people could just order us to come to their house and play a show, and we perform house parties for people in places that we've never been, and you know, we could do that anywhere, really. I mean, we could sell, and so we did. We decided to do that. We sold, like, three vehicles. We sold a bunch of other things, and whatever we had left, put it in storage, and we moved out to Alberta while our van that we bought got customized for a few months. And we had just mid-August that we started taking it on the road. We performed in Kamloops, Kelowna, like all over Alberta, Saskatchewan. Now we're here in Ontario performing before we head back out west, and then we're going to go to the United States when it gets colder here.
Which is perfect, you know, because that's going to be, you know, right after the awards, right? So you guys are both, because Kelsey's performing and, you know, uh-huh. It is like both of you guys are have got the awards to deal with this year, and which are pretty amazing accomplishments. And then to be able to go back on the road, let everybody know exactly where they can find this, because I know you got a whole website for this and your own Facebook and Instagram for Love on the Road. So just tell everybody.
Yeah, so you can find us. www.loveontheroad.ca is our website. If people wanted to book a show, they can just go to that website, and there's directions on how to do that. And then we are on Instagram at Love on the Road Official, and same thing on Facebook and YouTube as well. And so we're filming our adventures, or adventures as we call them. But
that's John's joke.
Yeah, exactly. I'm full of van puns now. That's hilarious. Really cheesy. leave it to me for the dad joke, so we're going to be filming all of our adventures and putting those on YouTube so people can follow along with, and all over social media. And yeah, so we've been super busy. We just within the last week have driven, like, I think almost 4,000 kilometers.
Oh, wow.
So we haven't slept much because we have to drive during daylight hours, and I was recording my record after we would stop driving and at the nighttime. So getting everything done has been quite the process. So we've been trying to catch up on sleep for the last couple of days.
I'm so sorry, Kelsey. I'm so sorry.
No, it's no problem at all. We've just been going nonstop for a few weeks here, so it's been pretty crazy, but but it's been worth it. And we're sort of racing against the weather right now because all of our shows are outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
So we need good weather and you know, it needs to be decently warm to do these things. But once we hit November, it's going to be tough to do a show outside for anybody. But
are you going
to head to Florida?
Oh, Florida. I was going to say maybe, you know, that's just an idea, but are you guys going to be going through California at all? Because they could use some music on the side there, so I'm sure some people would really appreciate the two of you.
Especially with a song called California.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. California, Nevada, we're going to go through Texas, and then make our way to Florida and come back up.
Eric, do you have a name for your van?
We don't have a name for our van yet. We're going to start, once it's revealed, we're going to start putting name ideas out there, I think, and we'll see what we can do, but... Yeah. We haven't quite settled on a name yet.
Nothing like Van Morrison or anything like that.
Oh, jeez.
Van Morrison, no, or Van Halen. Or, we don't have anything really set stone yet.
Okay, let's talk about Kiss Me Goodbye, because this is your latest single, and you co-wrote this one with Lindsay Jack Rhymes and Matthew Joseph Rogers. Tell us about this one, because it's such a great song.
Yeah, thank you. When I went into the writing room with these guys, I just wanted to write something upbeat, fun, something that would get people dancing, that, you know, if they're driving in the car, they'd want to roll their windows down and crank the radio up, because 2020 has been one heck of a year for most people. And, you know, I just wanted to put out a song that would lift people's spirits. And I could be wrong, I don't know, but I think we may have... come close to that with this song, so I'm really excited about it. It's a fun song. I can't wait to play it live when we have live shows again in 2022, likely. But I'm excited for that. I'm already getting ready for that. So I'm really pumped about this song. Like, from the moment I heard the demo we did, I've just been listening to this song on repeat, so I hope that everyone else likes it too.
Well, let's play that one right now so everybody can share and download and stream. And this is Kiss Me Goodbye by Eric Etheridge.
Your lips turn me upside down without even trying. They crash into mine, yeah, the fireworks start flying. That come on, give me look, you just shot me. Got me shook and it says you want me. So come on and lay one on me. Girl, you can kiss me in the crowd with the whole world watching. Or on the coast somewhere with the summer sunset dropping. In a bar, in the rain, I'll let you kiss me any place, anytime. But I won't let you kiss me goodbye. No, I won't let you kiss me goodbye. The shade of red you're wearing right now is driving me crazy.
That is his latest. It's Eric Etheridge and Kiss Me Goodbye as we start to wrap things up here. Once again, let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast with our special guest. Here is Kim Sear.
Such a great song, and we're so looking forward to being able to see what you guys do with this one. So I know that is, you know, if anybody hasn't heard this song, they can download it, request it at their local radio stations, and stream it, share it. It's such a great tune, and that is Kiss Me Goodbye by Eric Etheridge. What a great song. Love it, love it, love it.
Thank you.
Talk about writing that one.
That one, I actually came into the writing session. I had this chord progression sort of already figured out, and Lindsey Ryan said to me, "Do you have a song about kissing?" And I was like, "No, actually." Matt Rogers was like, "What about Kiss Me Goodbye?" And I was like, "That's a great idea. We're going to write that right now." So it was one of those writing sessions. There's a lot of writing sessions where you're just banging your head against the wall for 4 hours, 5 hours, and then you come up with a song that you never want anyone to hear. That happens a lot, but this was one of those ones where, I've, you know, as we were writing it and recording it, I was just so excited about it. So
awesome.
I hope people like it as much as I do.
Oh, we definitely do. So we're going to make sure that we're playing it, and we're going to get it right back out there for you. So it's such a great song, and that's Kiss Me Goodbye by Eric Etheridge. Now, you guys have both got the awards coming up. So we've got the CCMAs coming up, and we've got the CMA Ontario Awards. So we're looking forward to seeing you guys both. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it's been a busy year for nominations, which is really cool. We're both very grateful for it, and Kelsey's nominated for CCMA Roots Album of the Year, which is
huge,
super, super exciting. It's huge, and she's got a good shot of winning it, and so can't wait to see her win that one. I'm just manifesting it into existence right now.
We'll do it for you too.
So, yeah, and then so we're going to be, I mean, we're first time I've ever performed at an award show. We're going to be performing together at CMAO's from the roof of our van, on the van
stage. Oh, very cool.
Which is exciting. And so that's October 4th, I believe. And
mm-hmm.
This coming weekend is the big
27th.
So yeah. I believe you're going to see a performance of Kelsey on there, which her and I recorded, and we actually produced the video as well.
So, oh.
Yeah. So tune into that to take a look at that.
So you heard that there. It's going to be on the 27th at the CCMAs. That's going to be pretty awesome to look forward to. And we're looking forward to seeing you guys together. And then again on October 4th. And that's going to be something to watch out for. So we're really hoping and rooting for you both, because you both deserve it. And it's so nice to see you up, Eric, for three nominations. And we're really, really hoping you take this one home. This is be awesome, awesome end for 2019.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We're going to go into a question and answer period, and then we're going to wrap this up, because I know you guys have been so kind to be able to take the time to do this. And that way you guys can, you know, you got such busy schedules, and we understand that. So let's just talk really quickly about some of the questions we've had come in. Is there going to be a duet future for you and Kelsey?
A duet future for us?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think so. I mean, on this next record, I don't have a duet with her, but I think there might be down the road. I wouldn't count that out. I mean, we've written songs together, and we've started writing songs together more. There's a song on my first EP that she wrote just by herself called Miss Me, and then there's another one coming out on the second half, which will be the full length album that she wrote as well. So stay tuned for that. But we write a lot together. I cut her songs sometimes as well, and who knows. Might get another duet out there. I think we're due for one.
Mm-hmm. I think so, because we haven't had, I don't think we've had one on the radio, other than Keith Urban just released his right now with Pink. But other than that, yeah, we haven't really had a romantic duo.
You guys could become the Canadian Johnny and June.
Yeah. I don't think he heard that. Now,
I didn't hear what John said.
I know.
I said. I should probably agree with him.
I said, you guys could become the Canadian version of Johnny and June.
There we go.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
George and Tammy.
Exactly.
There you
Tim
go.
And Faith,
Tim and Faith. That's right. Yeah. That's right. I think you've already answered this question, but what has been your favorite road trip stop so far?
Favorite road trip stop? I would say probably Old Woman Bay, but I would tie that with Banff as well, because we've been there a few times.
Beautiful.
And Lake Louise is just incredible. We went canoeing this summer on Lake Louise for Kelsey's birthday, and that was awesome. That was magical. I would do it. I recommend anyone that goes there, make sure you go canoeing. It's so cool. So cool.
I've only seen it in the wintertime. I haven't seen it in the summer yet. It's the only thing. I'll get there one of these days. That's on my bucket list. What about your bucket list?
One thing I want to do is I want to go to Europe. So Kelsey and I are working on a way we could get there. That's definitely on our bucket list. We want to go and explore Europe, which would be awesome. And then Southeast Asia, too. If we want to do that, go to Thailand and the Philippines and whatnot. So that's on our bucket list for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, what does success mean to you?
Success to me means being able to make a living while doing your passion and your purpose. So there's a saying that I really like, and that is your passion is for you and your purpose is for others. So if you're living, able to make a living while fulfilling your purpose, then I think that is success to me.
What is the choice between Starbucks or Tim Hortons?
Starbucks.
Favorite pizza?
Ooh, I'm going to go with pizza from my hometown of, well, it depends. There's Gerezzi's Pizza in Sarnia, Ontario, and then in Nashville, it's Five Points Pizza, for sure.
World's best characteristic?
World's best characteristic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the world's best characteristic, I would say, is humility.
Okay, and what is the world's worst?
World's worst characteristic is probably entitlement, or I guess you could go down a road, a black hole with that, I guess, but yeah, mm-hmm. Let me say entitlement for now.
Marriage
is awesome.
Favorite food to snack on while on the road?
Ooh, beef jerky.
Who wrote a song that is your absolute favorite, past or present, that you wish you wrote?
That's a good question. That I wish I wrote?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I'd have to think about that one. My absolute favorite song that I wish I wrote? Oh, I don't know. I'd have to think about that one.
Okay. All right. Best traveling tune?
Sure, best traveling tune. Well, we listen to all the songs that we've written when we travel, actually. I listen to a lot of the demos that we have. There's some Kelsey songs too. So that's what we listen to pretty much all the time.
Okay. What does lyrics mean to you?
To me, lyrics can mean whatever you want them to mean. But I think it's a really good way to communicate with the listener and to evoke emotion in people.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Now, what is the one thing that you have for a stage accomplishment? What's the one place you want to be that you haven't been yet?
I would love to play at the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville.
Very cool. If there's one artist, any genre, that you would love to just party one night with, who would it be and why?
Garth Brooks. because I feel like he's just an awesome human being. And I think he would be awesome to just hang out with and listen to the stories. That's who I'd want to party with.
Very cool. Now, you guys have also joined in partnership with Canadian Lung Association. Tell us about that just before we go.
Yeah, so Kelsey and I were contacted by the Canadian Lung Association to write a song for them to help celebrate their 120th anniversary. And so we came up with this song called Breathe Again, and we're really excited about it. The response online has been amazing, actually. It's been playlisted on some Spotify and Apple Music playlists, which is really cool. All the proceeds of the downloads and the streams go directly to the Canadian Lung Association. So they seem to really like the song, and we've gotten a lot of messages from people who it really hits home for.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you check out Breathe Again.
Wonderful. So anybody can look at that and download it and share it. Very important song for so many people. So that one is just going to hit home for a lot of people. So I'm hoping everybody can check that out. Again, you can request that at your local radio station, and it's called Breathe Again. And that is in association with Canadian Lung Association. What a great, great gift. And we really, really appreciate that. So we got the awards coming up October 4th. We cannot wait. And we've got on September 27th for you both. And we're really hoping that you guys really bring it home. And we can't wait to see your travels. This is going to be so cool for Love on the Road.
Thank you so much, Kim, for having me. And yeah, we're really excited. And we hope we hopefully we have some wins here in the next couple weeks. And so thank you so much for your guys' support on our music. And thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. And again, tell everybody where they can reach you.
You can find me at ericetheridge.com or on social media, all the social media platforms at Eric Etheridge Music.
Okay, and we're going to have all that up on Now and Then magazine, and you'll be able to see the full article there with all the links to all the things that they are involved in. That's for Eric Etheridge and as well as for Kelsey Kulik. So we really, really appreciate both of you and love your music. And we hope to have you guys back on again. And we'll wait to see what happens with the awards, but we'll be announcing it for sure. So we'll look forward to it.
Absolutely.
And thank you once again for being on the show for Music's Journey and sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Thank you so much, Eric. And I think maybe one good name for your van would be Welcome to Cram-a-Lot.
Cram-a-Lot?
I like it.
Wow.
I like it too.
Thanks a lot, Eric.
We'll take that under consideration.
Kelsey's head's going, no, no.
Yeah. All right. That's her taste, I guess.
All right, you guys take care and thanks again. And we'll talk to you guys really soon. Thanks again for sharing your story. Okay?
Take care, guys.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. A big, big thank you to Eric Etheridge for taking the time to come out and talk to us today on Music's Journey. What a pleasure. What a great artist. And I'm really hoping that everybody takes the time to listen to his new song called Kiss Me Goodbye. What a great tune. And, you know, all the songs this year have been great, and Dream Girl. And you want to take a look at that one and share it, download it. And you know what? Share. It's a really, really great song. Stay tuned because we have The Heels that are going to be coming up next, and we look forward to speaking with them. What a great band. And thanks again for tuning in to Music's Journey, and we'll talk to you soon on the flip side.
Once again, a great big thank you to the Happy Camper for being with us today. You've been listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com. Please like us on Facebook and please share us on all your socials. On our upcoming podcast, we'll be chatting with Michelle Wright, Carrie DeMayer, Jesse T, The Reclaws, The Heels, Jason Blaine, Jamie Warren, and so many more. Our theme music is titled I Can Tell and is performed by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.